We are gathered again in this holy church to hear the word of God and to receive him. So the apostles today in the gospel reading gave the crowd what they needed there and then, but then gathered up the remaining pieces. The apostles didn't just dole it out without accounting, just all those baskets of food. No, they gathered up what the people did not need to eat. So the gospel today is not describing a welfare state that asks for no accountability. Because in today's world, accountability is a word that is not known. And there is no accountability, even in our pretend philoxenia. There is a film out there called The Odyssey, and I refuse to see it. Don't mistake it as having anything to do with the Odyssey that Homer wrote about 2,000-3,000 years ago. On the surface, it seems like it. But it's a very American movie. But what I am interested in the story of the Odyssey and what preceded it, the Trojan War. The Trojan War began because Philoxenia was abused. It was abused when Paris stole Helen from her home in Sparta and her husband Menelaus. Philoxenia was abused when the suitors of Odysseus's wife Penelope went after her. Philoxenia being abused is not something, Philoxenia is not something you blindly throw out there without accountability. Sorry if that sounds like I'm talking about today, but I guess I am. I didn't intend to, but I guess I am. You see, for the Greeks, Philoxenia was almost a sacrament. Actually, they called it xenia. Philoxenia is a longer version of that word, xenia. They almost saw it as a sacrament. Not in the Christian sense, of course, they were pagans. But I've seen it described somewhere by someone as ritualized friendship. Ritualized friendship. There was a ritual to Philoxenia. And it was treated as something holy, as something that is treated as holy. Philoxenia begins the process of transforming a person or a relationship. Your philoxenia can end in two different directions. It will either build a new relationship, or it will destroy the one offering philoxenia. It is either constructive or destructive. It's true in personal philoxenia, when you offer philoxenia, hospitality, and it's true when a whole country offers philoxenia. You can open an entire country's borders and think that you are doing philoxenia, hospitality, and you are, if the philoxenia is received in the spirit in which it is offered. The ancient Greeks were big on this. And they had the Trojan War as the perfect example. And the Bible is big on this also. In Hebrews chapter 13, we read, "Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares." And I hope you know what that refers to. It refers to Genesis chapter 18, when Abraham and Sarah were visited by three angels, which turned out to be an actual visitation by God. And that's the icon that we have in the back there. And what is it called? The philoxenia to Abraham, the hospitality of Abraham. That's our church icon, because we're a church of the Holy Trinity. And the only acceptable icon of the Trinity in a church is the icon of the hospitality of Abraham. It's not a literal appearance of God, the Trinity in the desert, but spiritually, the church has always interpreted, typologically, the church has always interpreted. And the Bible, it says Yahweh appeared to Abraham. And Abraham looked up and he saw three men. Very mystical passage in the book of Genesis. So welcome one another, Hebrews says, because some unawares have entertained angels. In Romans chapter 15, we read, welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God. Proslambaneste allilus, that verb proslambano has so many meanings. It means to take hold, to grab, to grasp, not grab, grasp, to bring along, to welcome, to receive, as in the King James Version of the Bible, which says, receive one another. Gather together, all these meanings of that verb proslambano. And that's the verb that Paul uses in Romans chapter 15. And aren't all those English translations of that single verb descriptions of what Christ does and what we should do when we offer philoxenia in the Christian sense? Again, it's a matter of accountability. And accountability is sadly lacking in the world today, from the personal and family level to the national level to the global level. That's why Christopher Nolan can make a movie of the Odyssey without accountability to the original. I saw a discussion one evening on television, just happened upon it, by movie critics, and they were comparing the Nolan film to other video or film versions. And I shouted at the TV, how about Homer's Odyssey? Instead of talking about Nolan's Odyssey and whoever else they were talking about, how about Homer's version? I said that for the ancient Greeks, philoxenia was like a sacrament. We Orthodox speak of sacraments. But that is not our native language. We borrowed the word sacrament because we live in a country where people speak English and where Catholics and Protestants use the word sacrament. But what other Christians call sacrament, we call mystery. So we say to mysterion Tis Theas Eucharistias, the mystery of this baptisios, the mystery of baptism, the mystery of Holy Communion. It's a mystery. Sacrament can give an impression of some magic words and pronounced at a certain magic moment where something happens. That's not our native language. Christ himself said, you give them something to eat. You give them something to eat. Here are five loaves of bread and two fish. You give them. And in the accountable obedience to what Jesus commanded, those five loaves and those two fishes multiplied and fed 5,000 men together with the women and the children. In those days, they didn't even bother accounting women and children. And that is the beauty of it. Here are two fishes and five loaves of bread. Not bought in a store, but caught and baked by human hands. And that's the mystery of, that's the beauty of mystery. How ordinary food items can be multiplied and transformed in a mystery. How ordinary human beings, sinners, you and I, can become saints. Because each of us is a mystery of God's presence. Each of us is like the bread in the story we read, like the bread in the liturgy, waiting for the glory of God to be revealed in us, in the bread, in you. Jesus gave thanks. Did you hear that in the gospel? Jesus gave thanks before multiplied. He looked to heaven. Before multiplying the bread and the fish. And Jesus right now is at the throne of glory and is giving thanks to God the Father that you are here, that the mystery in you is being revealed day after day, week after week, Eucharist after Eucharist. We pray to the saints in the Orthodox Church. We ask them to intercede for us, and so we should. But when we ask them to intercede for us, to whom are we asking them to intercede? To whom? It is always to Christ Jesus. It is always to Jesus Christ. Because Jesus Christ, according to the Epistle to the Hebrews, is our high priest. Our high priest. So we read in Hebrews, we have such a high priest, one who is seated at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in heaven, a minister in the sanctuary and the true tent, which is set up not by man, but by Lord. He's ministering in the heavenly sanctuary, not built by us, but built in eternity by God. He's our high priest, infinitely higher than anything that I am. My priesthood is just a poor imitation, reflection of his priesthood. He is our great high priest. And I remember that at every liturgy, in the prayer that I read silently before I come out with the gifts in the great entrance. And here are some of the things that I say in that prayer. Because of your ineffable and immeasurable love for mankind, you became our high priest and entrusted to us this sacred service and liturgical sacrifice. For you are the offerer and the offered, the one who is received and is distributed, O Christ our God. And to you we offer up glory with your Father, who's that beginning, and your all holy, good, and life-giving Spirit, now and forever, and to the ages of ages. Amen. The mystery of Christ's priesthood is one of the most profound mysteries revealed in the New Testament. And did you hear that? You are the offerer and the offered. Now, I'm an offerer. When I stand before the altar, when I offer the bread and the wine, but I'm certainly not the offered. I am not the one who's being offered. Christ is the only one who can say, whom we can say, you are the offerer and the offered. All sides of the priesthood. Like I said, it's a mystery, and we like mysteries in the Orthodox Church. That's our language. So yes, dear friends, our high priest looks to his Father and our Father. He offers thanks, and then he breaks us like bread. He breaks us to reveal what is sinful in us, to expose what is untrue in us. What are the lies that corrupt our spiritual understanding, what the fathers of the church call the nous, our spiritual mind, our spiritual understanding? He liberates us from being slaves to the elemental spirits of the universe, as Paul calls it in today's epistle reading. He liberates us from a captivity to a world that is under the dominion of the evil one, the one whom Christ called the prince of this world, or Archon to Kosmututu, or Archon, the prince, the ruler of this world, not some other world, this world, the one that we are living in. And we are called, each one of us, when we belong to Christ, we are called to die to this world, to this world and its lies, which according to Jesus, not according to me, so don't accuse me. According to Jesus, the evil one is the prince, the ruler of this world. So we are called to die to this world, to die to sin, to die what is untrue. Yes, there is beauty in the world, so let's elevate that beauty. There is beauty here today when we celebrate the liturgy. You bring bread, one woman baked bread for me today to use in the liturgy that you can receive as communion. There's beauty there. There's beauty in this church, in these icons. There's beauty in the lives that you are called to live. It's not all ugly. But there is a world, this world, that is ruled by the evil one. And we are to die to this world. And we are to live and rise again to a world that is transfigured, where the ruler is Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace. So the Lord breaks us, like he breaks the bread, and he distributes us to this world that is hungry for the truth that it doesn't even know exists. So we become co-creators with God, synergy to Theou. Dear friends, when you belong to Christ, you are a mystery of God's transforming grace, a mystery being made ready to be revealed. I love St. Basil's liturgy. I love St. John Chrysostom's liturgy too, the liturgy we're doing today. But I love St. Basil's liturgy especially. We only do it 10 times a year. In the center of St. Basil's liturgy, right before we call upon the bread to become the body of Christ, listen to the words of St. Basil's liturgy. We pray to you and call upon you, O Holy of Holies, that by the favor of your goodness, your Holy Spirit may come upon us and upon the gifts here presented, to bless, sanctify, and show this bread to be the precious body of our Lord and God and Savior, Jesus Christ. I almost want to cry when I'm saying this, because I'm not doing St. Basil's liturgy, but it's such a profound moment. In St. John Chrysostom's liturgy, we say, and make this bread. Somewhat different language, simplified language, and St. John Chrysostom's liturgy is considered to be a somewhat simplified version of St. Basil's liturgy. But I love what I read and what I say in that liturgy. Show this bread to be the precious body of our Lord God and Savior Jesus Christ. Que anadixe to men arton tuton. Show, reveal this bread. You see, and this I learned from my professor of liturgical theology, Father Alexander Schmemann, the entire liturgy is a movement to this moment of revelation. how cheaply the Eucharist is treated in so many places. How trivial is worship in many places. But here we have the true spirit of the gospel reading today, the multiplication of the loaves and the fish. It's a mystery that unfolds. Jesus did not take these baskets and these fishes and said some magic words, and all of a sudden there were 1,000 baskets. No. They started giving out the bread. They broke it. They started giving it, and it just kept multiplying. Just kept being more and more and more. It's an unfolding. It's a gradual movement of holiness. And that's what the liturgy is. So St. Basil's liturgy, when he says, show this bread, reveal it. It is, reveal it. To be the body of Christ. And that which is in this cup, the blood of Christ. Transformation, but not by magic, because some words are spoken at a particular moment, but an unfolding from the beginning of liturgy. And that's also true in St. John Chrysostom's liturgy, just that he uses different language. Because even the language that Chrysostom uses in the liturgy in Greek has different overtones. How easy it is to be judgmental and to feel superior to other people, but we forget that we also were lost, but then were found. And we also need to be broken up. To be broken up so that what is wrong in us, what is ungodly in us, will be revealed. And there is nothing that can compare with the wonder, the beauty of seeing the beauty of a new life in Christ unveiled, revealed in someone that you might have thought was beyond hope. And those 12 baskets of leftover bread and fish are being constantly multiplied. They're still here. They're still constantly multiplied. But spiritually, for those who are hungry for a life that is not slavery to the elemental spirits of the universe, so to you and to me, the Lord says the same thing that he said to the apostles. You give them something to eat. You give them something to eat. Don't worry about it. I'm going to do the work, he says to us. I will do the work. I will multiply it. But I'm giving it to you to give them something to eat. You give them what will reveal them to be holy. To be holy. Let the mystery of faith that is in you bring glory and honor and thanksgiving to Jesus Christ our Savior, together with the Father and the life-giving Spirit, now and always, and to the ages of ages. Amen. And indeed, we are here for the ages of ages. Amen.